Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Love Rules. And today's message, Unknown Grace. Our text is from 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the 8th through the 10th verses. This is about Paul's suffering that he shares with us, his thorn in the flesh. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it, the thorn in my flesh, away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest on me. That is why, for the sake of Christ, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I recently returned from Brussels, Belgium, working with young Muslim, Jewish, and Christian youth, addressing the racial and cultural tension in their communities. Many of those attending this conference, which was sponsored by the U.S. Embassy in Brussels, are from Belgium's poorest communities, including Molenbeek. I think you've heard of that. It was labeled not too long ago the most dangerous terrorist breeding ground in Europe. The conference focused on interfaith dialogue. More than half of Belgians are Christians, actually, but there's a growing ambivalence toward religion. But these young kids are courageously addressing not only the issues of differences among religions, they're also talking about suffering in their part of the world, and there is plenty of suffering. The problem of pain and suffering is all around us. Here in this country, many people think that we are going into a time of suffering where half the country may do all right, but the other half will not. That may or may not be true, but it is true that we are always surrounded by suffering, be it wars and be it distress, be it poverty, be it death, be it disappointment. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians may offer some comfort for those of you who suffer. The letter involves the apostle's reaction to his own suffering. He writes about this thorn in the flesh that is causing great pain. He has prayed to God to remove it, and God's response is, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness." God's answer to Paul is to meditate on grace, God's unearned, undeserved, unexpected favor, God's help and support and gifts that are given to us without any action on our part. The subject of grace came up in Brussels. We actually started talking about forgiveness versus vengeance. And of course, that led me to grace. Grace is my story. Grace is my testimony. The young people were extremely interested in this discussion, but I got to tell you, they had no concept on the meaning of grace. Few of them even wanted to deal with forgiveness as a viable reaction to cross-cultural dissent and cross-cultural conflicts. The teens have roots in Syria and Turkey and Morocco and the Congo. And Belgium itself has a particularly ugly history of evil in the Congo, where the 19th century Belgian King Leopold was responsible for the genocide of 10 million Congolese. So this part of Europe and these people in Europe are people who know about suffering, but they don't know much about forgiveness. And nobody had talked to them about grace. Maybe they heard it somewhere in some kind of public conversation, but I doubt it. So I wondered, as we continued to talk during this two-day conference, if any of us really have explored the depths and expanse of God's grace. You see, grace is a uniquely Christian value. You don't find much about grace in other religions. They may give you words like loving kindness. They may give you words about love, but I'm not sure they understand this notion of grace, unexpected and undeserved benevolence. I want to make sure that we as Christians fully understand it as we witness to the world. And Paul's statement of God's grace as sufficient is particularly important. Now, remember that Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthians to defend his ministry. There are people who are questioning his character and his authority, and he could have made his arguments based on all of his accomplishments, because this, after all, is the Apostle Paul, who is second only to Jesus in the spread of Christianity. He is a writer, and he's brilliant, and he's a thinker. And he has just had an experience, or he's just talked about an experience that he had many years ago, of actually being taken up to paradise. If you read this text and go back, you'll see where he talks about that. And of course, preachers love to talk about the stuff that gives us spiritual credibility. Paul has had many of these experiences. That's what brought him to God on the road to Damascus. But instead of focusing on his impressive spiritual authority and his blessings, which have been many, Paul chooses to boast about his suffering. He says that this thorn in my flesh, this thorn in my flesh is where I will boast. So what is Paul doing here? I am so thankful you've joined us today. Remember, Love Rules is totally listener-supported. Won't you make a donation right now to keep this program on the air? Log on to RoxburyPresbyterianChurch.org and click on Giving. That's RoxburyPresbyterianChurch.org. Click on Giving. Thank you. God bless you. One of the big questions on suffering, of course, is why? What causes it? And it always comes down to your mindset, how you choose to look at God and God's world. Randy Alcorn writes in his book, If God is Good, which is another book I recommend, faith that leaves us unprepared for suffering is a false faith. You see, suffering is a part of the world. It's just what comes with the territory. But whatever suffering you experience, and I think this is what Paul is telling us in this letter, no matter what you go through, it is not outside the realm of God's control. God allows Paul to suffer, not because God has no control. Now, the devil has brought this thorn in the flesh. That's what Paul tells us in the text. But the devil has no power except that which is allowed by God. John 14:30, Jesus says, "The ruler of this world is coming, but he has no power over me." Mark 1:27, Jesus commands the unclean spirits and they obey. So this thorn in the flesh that was put on Paul by the devil is still allowed by God. And what Paul tells us in this text is that his suffering is used for God's purpose. That's what he's saying. My suffering, though it's horrible, and I've asked God to take it away, but I know it's being used for God's purpose. This experience, Paul says, has humbled me. It has left me weak. And as a matter of fact, Paul goes on to write, I might have been a little arrogant after that ecstatic episode, that spiritual episode many years ago that I'm sharing with you, where I was taken up into paradise. So maybe God used this experience to kind of bring me down, to humble me. So I'm going to boast about this thorn that has made me weak, because you know what? It has given me much more. And in this suffering, Paul writes, and this is the part I really want to pay attention to, the power of Christ rests in me. The power of Christ rests in me when I'm suffering, Paul says. Now, Paul uses an interesting word in this teaching. He uses the word weak, and he defines it in an interesting way. He could have used some other words. He could have said that he was attacked, that he was sick, that he was incapacitated, but instead he says he's been weakened. You know, for some, this past political campaign pitted the strong versus the weak. Weakness is aligned with those who want health care reform, those who welcome immigrants, those who don't believe that all Muslims are terrorists. Well, some people have called those people, and that's where I stand, weak. Those folks are considered of no value in a way, because the message that we heard, at least some of us heard, is that weakness has no value. That's sort of the message of the world. So it's not just a political campaign, because the world is in search of the strong. But that's not the message of the Bible.
The Bible's definitions have never been in line with the world's. Blessed are the poor. The meek shall inherit the earth. The last will be first. God uses the weak to shame the strong, the foolish to shame the wise. Now, there are those of you who say, well, that's Bible talk and not political talk. But here's my argument. It's all the same. Weakness, you see, in God's economy, and God is in control of the whole world. Weakness allows God's power to be evident. And if you look from the very beginning, the gospel was considered a foolish message for the weak. God chooses the weak, the humble, the lowly to work in and to work through so that there is no question about the source of power. Paul says, I'm weak so that God's power can rest on me, and that makes me strong. Now, I don't think that means you're just supposed to stay there and be frozen in fear and not do anything and not move at all and not stand up for what you believe. But I want you to understand that weakness is not necessarily a negative in God's economy. And that brings us to grace. If you read this text from Paul, you will realize that grace is more accessible when you suffer than when you celebrate, because in your weakness, you become more aware of grace. Grace as the dynamic power of Christ resting, abiding, and dwelling within. Grace is sufficient when you're suffering, no matter how you're suffering. And I mean that as political suffering or personal suffering. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Grace as a language of God is perfect because grace is all over the place. You know, there's a theme called common grace. People who don't even know Jesus can know grace. And that grace is sufficient. But you really need to have a relationship with Jesus to understand fully what grace is. Yes, these are times of great suffering, but the fullness of the supply of grace is constant if you know Jesus. The power to receive increases with the use. My prayer for you is that God's grace will be evident in your life, that you will see it. It's there anyway, but open your eyes to it, particularly if you're going through hard times. Because God will give you grace enough to get through. Thanks for joining us. Be blessed.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will reign if you let me.